Couldn't hear you. Mic check! All right, you're listening to the Mike Malloy Show, and this is your mic check. Put on your riot suits, America. Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, occupier, and all-around swell fellow occupying your airwaves from coast to coast and around the globe tonight. Glad you could join us here. We are broadcasting once again from the left coast in beautiful downtown Burbank at the lovely KTalk AM 1150 studios. So glad you could join us. Man, is there a lot going on. So I'm in for Mike. I'm in for Mike today. I'll be in for Mike all next week, at least up until Thanksgiving. I'm glad you're joining us because, like I say, man, do we have a lot to cover tonight. Follow us tonight, if you wish, on the Twitters at The Brad Blog. That's where you'll find me. And you can also play along at home if you have your riot suits, as I said, at bradblog.com, where we have a chat room up and rolling, and folks are already starting to pile in. There will be no checks at the door for tents, sleeping bags, and tarps. You're welcome to walk right in. We believe in the First Amendment here. Whether the New York police do, whether the Oakland police do, whether the Tulsa police, Dallas police, L.A. police, the list goes on. We're going to talk about that in a moment, too. Also, our phone number tonight. Don't bother the Malloys. They're enjoying their pre-Thanksgiving break. Bother us instead at 877-520-1150. That will be our phone number tonight when we open up the lines. Write it down, 877-520-1150, so that you, too, can occupy your public airwaves. Not a lot of chance to do that, you know. Now's your chance. Did I say I'm the guy from Brad Blog? Yeah, I'm the guy from Brad Blog. What other business do I have? Dez, our lovely producer, is also screening calls tonight, and she'll be moderating in the chat room along with Angel, who is joining us tonight. Welcome, Angel. Glad you could be with us. Help us out in the chat room. Now, when we say moderate, of course, you know, we don't mean moderate, like moderate your speech. It's just a matter of approving you, giving you the go-ahead to say anything you want in the chat room. We just have to have somebody there to say, yes, you're in. Agree with us or not, but you're in. So Angel is there. Ernie Canning is also there helping us out tonight. Thank you, sir. I do appreciate that. We are going to be joined a little bit later in the show by Josh Harkinson of Mother Jones, who has a horrifying story, a riveting, a horrific story to tell about what happened to him as he, as a journalist, was trying to cover the eviction by the NYPD riot cops, by the NYPD stormtroopers, by Mike Bloomberg's thugs. Sorry, guys. Mike Bloomberg's thugs in Zuccotti Park last Monday night, Tuesday morning, as they were evicting the peaceful protesters, peaceful demonstrators from Zuccotti Park. Why? Oh, it was for health reasons. That's what Mike Bloomberg said. For health, for their own health and safety. So at 2 a.m. in the morning, he had to send in his thugs, his stormtroopers, to roust these peaceful demonstrators, peaceably assembling, you know, under the First Amendment rights, at 2 a.m., had to pull them out of their tents, throw them onto the streets to roam around lower Manhattan for their health, for their safety? Are you kidding me, Mike Bloomberg? Of course, he was just following the pattern. He was just following the pattern that they've all been doing now at all of these occupations around the country. All of these mayors, many of them, by the way, Democrats. And shame on you. Shame on you, Democrats. We expect the Republicans to not give a damn about the Constitution. I was expecting more from you Democrats. I don't know where I got that idea. What was I thinking? Let's see, last time when we were in for Mike, the occupations were just kicking off. It was very exciting. It was just, literally, the days that we showed up were the days that the occupiers were turning out. Man, and I said, I think at the time, that this could be the most important thing to happen in this country since 9/11. I still stand by that. I believe that it is, that it will, that it will prove to be. We'll see whether I'm right or wrong. But so far, I believe it is, and the fact that this has been going now for 2 months, yesterday was the 2 month anniversary, and to celebrate, cops all across the country were beating the crap out of peaceful protesters. Way to go, cops. And talk about that in a second. I want to mention that we're also going to be joined later in the show. I say I got to calm myself down. I got 3 hours to go here. But, man, have I been storing it up for the past 2 months. Denise Lockwood is going to be joining us from the Caledonia Patch to discuss and this is an amazing story. And, again, another story that I should not be surprised about. The Wisconsin recall effort to recall Governor Scott Walker. Surprise, surprise, the dirty tricks have begun already. The fraud, the Walker supporters have been talking out there on Facebook of their plans to shred and burn petitions, to actually go out and collect petitions in areas that would be supportive of this recall effort, of getting this recall on the ballot. They've got to collect some about 500,000 signatures over the next 60 days. So folks are going out in huge force. It's an uphill battle. Whether they'll be able to do it, I don't know. They say in the first 48 hours they gathered some 50,000 petitions in the first 2 days. They've got to get something like 9,000 a day on average for the next 60 days in order to get this on the ballot. And yet these Republicans are talking openly on Facebook and elsewhere about going out collecting petitions and then shredding them and burning them. I covered it a little bit last weekend, I guess, at bradblog.com. And then Denise Lockwood jumped in with some more reporting while I was also working on the story. And she has a source who was among those who said he was going to tear up these signatures. And she did not identify his name. She knows his name. And he says that he knows personally two other people who are doing the same, and that he has been told that there are thousands out there planning to do the same thing in Wisconsin. Because when you can't win, cheat. Right? Wisconsin Republicans? Very impressive. So we're going to talk to Denise Lockwood. Her report raises some interesting questions. For one, she's got a source who is saying that he is going to commit a crime, that he knows others who are going to commit this crime, and that he knows that there are thousands of others planning to commit a crime, a class one felony. Should she be keeping his identity a secret as he is a source? Interesting question, certainly for me as a journalist. Lord knows I know a lot about keeping whistleblowers identities private. for those who may remember my Mother Jones story a month or two ago with the tapes of the inside the Koch brothers summer seminar up there in June in Colorado. Yeah, sources, and I've been reporting for years on whistleblower sources, and I can't do that unless I'm able to grant anonymity, protect my sources. But if a source was coming to me and saying I'm going to commit a crime, and I know others who are going to commit a crime as well, do I then have a responsibility to keep that quiet, at least keep their names quiet? I don't know. I think it's a really interesting question. So we're going to talk about that with Denise Lockwood and get the skinny on this effort. And, of course, we'll take your calls throughout the night at 877-520-1150. Let me get to a break here, and then we're going to come back. I want to talk more about the police state that is apparently now, it's not even a police state. It's a fully weaponized military state in this country. And if you don't believe me, go to bradblog.com right now and look at the photograph on the top item, right under the Malloy chat room item. Look at the next photograph down from Occupy Portland. Look at these riot cops, these riot cops, these stormtroopers spraying this young woman with the tear gas, pepper gas, right in the face. Brad Friedman in from Malloy. Stay with us.
But man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were
What, me? Revolution? Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike as the occupation continues occupying your airwaves tonight, your public airwaves tonight, and all next week, at least up to Thanksgiving. Hopefully we'll be joined by Josh Harkinson at the bottom of the hour, if we can reach him, if he's not being dragged behind. Well, just wait till you hear his story. Wait till you hear what happened to him as a journalist trying to cover the eviction from Zuccotti Park last Monday night. So I'm putting the show together here, and I'm trying to figure out, well, you know, what do we want to talk about tonight? And I'm, you know, looking through over the past week or two at Brad Blog, what we have been covering. Two-tour Iraqi vet Scott Olson has his skull fractured by a tear gas canister fired by the Oakland PD on October 25th. And the chief, the interim police chief up there, Howard Jordan, goes out before the television cameras and tells everybody, well, we had to do it. It was necessary to protect our police from rocks and bottles being thrown by protesters. Well, our own Ernie Canning at bradblog.com and myself went about an analysis of the videotape that's available from that night. And we talked to eyewitnesses. We talked to, got their testimony about what happened. And guess what? Guess what? The police were not protecting themselves from demonstrators throwing rocks and bullets. That was a complete and utter lie. Or if they were, there is no evidence of it whatsoever. So Howard Jordan, the interim police up there in Oakland, leading the 17-agency task force, goes out on TV and just lies. And in fact, the video shows that the cops up in Oakland were putting on their gas masks, were announcing that they're about to use chemical agents, CS gas, on these protesters. And there's no, you know, there's no action at all. They're not defending themselves from rocks and bottles. They're quietly putting on their masks. They're announcing, if you don't clear the area, this assembly is illegal. If you don't clear the area, we're going to use chemical agents. And then they did. Completely illegally, in violation of California state law, in violation of a federal consent decree that the Oakland police signed after 2003 when they did the same thing. The same thing to peaceful demonstrators who were protesting against the Iraq War. In the bargain, two-tour Iraqi vet Scott Olson gets shot in the head with a tear gas canister. His skull is fractured. His brain begins to swell. He's rushed to the hospital in critical condition. Thankfully, he's now home. We'll see if he's got brain damage. But that was just one night. That was just one incident, October 25th. On that same night, we found out some 2 weeks later that Iraq and Afghanistan vet Kevin Sabagi had his spleen ruptured by Oakland PD, who beat the crap out of him. By the way, Kevin, I think is how you pronounce his name, he wasn't even protesting. He was just trying to get home. He was thrown in jail, got no medical care for 24 hours after his spleen was ruptured. We've got videotape at Brad Blog of citizen journalist Scott Campbell shot by Oakland PD with beanbag, so-called less lethal force. Scott Campbell, a citizen journalist, a cameraman, who was just photographing a line of police on November 3. It was quiet. You can watch the videotape. There's nothing going on. And out of nowhere, one of the Oakland PD thugs pulls up his rifle and boom, pops one off, shoots Scott Campbell. The cameraman goes down. You can watch the whole video. You can go see the video of the Berkeley Cal, the UC Berkeley cops at Occupy Cal. Who were they weren't slamming their batons. They were nudging, according to AP, just nudging batons into the guts of peaceful student demonstrators on the UC Berkeley campus. Go look at the video. Go look at the video of the cop at Occupy Dallas who just pushes a peaceful demonstrator off a 4-foot ledge. For what reason? I don't know. Go look at the video. You tell me, out of nowhere. You can look at the photograph tonight of this woman at Occupy Portland who is being shot in the face by these riot cops. These cops on steroids shoot her straight in the face with pepper spray. Or the story of 84-year-old Dorley Rainey, who, if I can play her whole interview from Oberman yesterday, if I can play the entire thing tonight, I will. The entire thing, 9.5 minutes, a Holocaust survivor, 84 years old, gets a face full of pepper spray from cops at Occupy Seattle on Tuesday. Police state? It's not a police state. This is a fully weaponized military state that we are now looking at in this country. And I don't want to sound like, you know, Alex Jones or Glenn Beck. This is the crap that Glenn Beck warned you about. And now he's loving these guys. He's loving these guys beating the crap out of peaceful demonstrators. And Fox News loves it because they can lie about it. They can tell you that these demonstrators are being violent, that they're throwing cops and rocks and bottles at the cops. They ain't. This is your nation. This is what we have allowed it to become, a fully weaponized military state. And this has to stop. Brad in from Molloy. It won't change the case. It will not. That was Third Eye Blind, by the way, their new Zuccotti Park Occupy Wall Street anthem. You can download it for free at their Facebook page. Yes, Occupy Wall Street now has its own anthem, thanks to Third Eye Blind. I'm going to go to Josh Harkinson in a moment from Mother Jones to get his remarkable story about what happened Monday night after midnight, Tuesday morning in Zuccotti Park, as the press was excluded from covering this crackdown on peaceful demonstrators. And thank God for the independent media, for the alternative media, for guys like Josh Harkinson at Mother Jones, who said, you know what, the hell with this. I'll risk arrest. I'll crawl under the barricades back into Zuccotti Park to find out what the hell was going on as demonstrators were surrounded in there by the cops. And the story that he tweeted that night, as I was following it at 3, 4 in the morning out here on the West Coast, of what he was going through out there, a riveting tale to tell for sure. But before I go to him, I'm going to play this, I think it's like a 15-second clip. This is O'Reilly, Bill O'Reilly. This is his opinion after the crackdown, his opinion about the future of Occupy Wall Street.
So the Occupy Wall Street movement is dead, finished as a legitimate political force in this country. And that's a good thing.
It's finished. It's dead, says Fox News's Bill O'Reilly. We're going to find out if that is in fact the case. Right now, San Francisco-based staff writer for Mother Jones, Josh Harkinson, who has not been based in San Francisco over the last few days. He's been in New York, joins us now. Hey, Josh, welcome to the Mike Molloy Show, sir.
Hey, Brad. Good to be here.
I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're with us. But I'm glad you're safe after what happened early Monday night, early Tuesday morning. I want to get that story from you in a second, Josh. But did you hear O'Reilly announcing that the Occupy Wall Street movement is dead?
I think he'd like it to be dead, but I think he's dreaming, at least right now. I think it's got it's far from dead, and I don't see any indication that the energy has been lost in any way.
You were, and now you've been out in New York, and what do you do? I thought you were in San Francisco. What are you doing in New York, Josh?
Well, I am normally, and I mean, I live in San Francisco, but this is just so important and interesting that I felt like I needed to be in New York. And so I've been here, off and on for about a month.
Mm-hmm.
And planning to stay here quite a while longer, as long as this stuff's going on, as long as I can manage to be here.
Yeah, you're going to be there a while in that case. Now, last night, with tens of thousands taking to the streets to celebrate the 2-year anniversary of Occupy Wall Street, no signs that the movement was dead last night?
No. It was a huge day. I think more than 30,000 people turned out on the Brooklyn Bridge. Before that, there were a bunch of really committed protesters, many of them, some of the core group that occupies Zuccotti Park, who tried to shut down the New York Stock Exchange. It was just a massive day of protests all over the city, in the subways and different parks, including union people, including just regular folks who I spoke with, college students who are worried that they're not going to be able to get a job when they graduate.
Mm-hmm.
It was a diverse crowd, and I think everybody was united in their support for Occupy Wall Street.
And was there, tonight, you're not on the streets tonight, you're back in a safe area, or are you back out on the streets covering what's going on?
Well, right now I am at the a local office of the SEIU, which has provided space for the Spoke Council of Occupy Wall Street, which is basically this new kind of quasi-governing body that is, as we speak, trying to figure out what the next move will be, how they might come together to talk about occupying a new space, about communicating better now that they don't have this physical presence, just about the whole range of issues that need to be dealt with, if they're going to keep this thing moving.
And because they're no longer allowed to, are they allowed to sleep in Zuccotti Park? They just can't do it if they have sleeping bags and tents and tarps and so forth?
Well, I think it's a little fuzzy. My understanding, which may or may not be fully right, is that you cannot lie down in Zuccotti Park. You certainly can't have a sleeping bag or a tent. But it's so cold outside that alone is enough to prevent the occupation. But I think you could technically sleep if you slept sitting up.
And they just come up with this random rule now that now you can no longer lie down in Zuccotti Park?
I mean, that's my understanding. I mean, don't hold me to it.
All right.
I think the rules are whatever they make them, it seems. I mean, they weren't enforcing the tents and sleeping bags thing until they were.
Right.
So,
Now, if they're not able to sleep out there, I read tonight that folks are now sleeping. Various churches are opening up their doors to demonstrators, allowing folks in, and that the New York NYPD is already, it's pretty appalling, already infiltrating these churches in plain clothes, and the churches are getting ticked off about it. But is that where the people are going now, if they can't sleep in the park, or they're just spreading around to various churches and shelters at this point, and can the movement withstand that?
Well, people are also staying at the homes of other occupiers who actually still have homes in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's taking some pressure off the churches. But yeah, it's an issue where people are going to stay. And there are some people who actually gave up their homes so that they could spend all their time in the park, and now they're uncertain what to do. I think a big issue is the homeless population that had grown in numbers in Zuccotti Park in recent weeks. And they have a lot of needs, which, you know, sometimes include drug addiction or psychological issues. And so, you know, it's a complicated question, you know, how to help them, how to keep them in the movement, you know, and what ways that assistance might be carried out.
And we're speaking with Josh Harkinson of Mother Jones. You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike. Josh, tonight, what is going on the streets of New York? And then we'll get to what happened on Tuesday night with you. What's actually going on out there tonight? Have you been able to do any reporting?
Well, not on the street. I mean, I think right now everybody who is involved in this thing is really focused on having meetings to talk about what to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a planning phase now. I mean, the big day of protest was on November 17th. And, you know, I've heard some talk of an occupation on Sunday of an outdoor space.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that will happen, I don't know. But, you know, that's a possibility. But, you know, it's just you can't expect every day for people to be out in the streets waving their fists, because ultimately that's not productive. You know, they need to kind of sit down and think this through and really come up with a cohesive strategy.
All right. I'm already running late because I have so many questions. So let me ask you, Josh, actually, let me try to set this up, and you correct me if I get this wrong, because I remember this well. I was, like I say, I was covering it live and with some horror as I'm watching you tweet what was going on. The cops come in after midnight on Monday night to Zuccotti Park, roust the demonstrators out of their tents, throw them out in the streets, of course, for their own health and safety. Most of the demonstrators are out. The cops are now ringing the place. Barricades go up. Press is told they cannot come in. There are a few dozen or so demonstrators left at the kitchen tent in the center of the park. And you tell everybody on the Twitters that you're going to crawl under the barricades and go in and try to check out what's going on. And then the story of what happened to you once you were there is amazing. Tell us what happened, Josh, what you saw and what happened in this confrontation with this NYPD officer.
Sure. Well, so I made it under this barricade, and I was kind of in this intermediate zone where there's still some occupiers, but the police, like, weren't letting anybody in. And so I kind of go to the edge of that, and then I come to this other police officer who is, like, right catty corner to the park. And I try to walk in, and, you know, I have my business card out, and he doesn't let me in. I mean, they aren't letting any press in. But he basically, like, kind of lets me go stand on a curb across the street from the park. And then I just kind of bide my time until nobody's looking, and I just kind of confidently walk across the street like I deserve to be there. And there I am in the park, and I walk down the sidewalk, and there are all these high-ranking officers around me, guys in suits, and there are cleanup workers and garbage trucks and people scraping up tents. And there's just a core group of occupiers left, like, trying to hold the park. In the center of the park, they're all surrounded, they're all in a circle, and inside the circle is a group that has actually chained themselves to a pole, like, around their necks. And so I'm there when a police officer in a white shirt with a bullhorn announces that if they don't leave, they will be arrested. And, of course, they don't leave. And they're peaceful. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're waving American flags.
Right.
You know, they're chanting occasionally. But
they should have broken into songs from Les Mis at that point. It might have helped. Just saying. All right. Press on.
But then, despite the fact that, I mean, at least I didn't see any people resisting or being violent, mm-hmm. but the riot cops move in with zip cuffs, and they douse them with fire extinguishers. And I don't know why they did that. I thought it was tear gas, but it actually was fire extinguishers. And I don't know if you've ever been sprayed by a fire extinguisher, but it actually is not pleasant at all. Like, you start mm-hmm. coughing, and you have trouble breathing. And so as this is happening, I'm trying to get a better view. And, you know, I've been pretty incognito, but I sit up on this wall, and then I get approached by a officer who asks me if he can help me. And I tell him I'm a journalist. He asks me for who. I say I'm with Mother Jones, and he says, well, you have to leave.
Well, that was your first mistake, Josh. All right. So you have to leave.
I mean, maybe he, I don't know, maybe he just didn't recognize Mother Jones as
right.
the name he knew, but.
Right.
So then I say, well, I'll be happy to leave if you let me witness to the arrest first. And that wasn't good enough for him. He's like, you need to leave now. And I'm like, well, fine, just arrest me. And he grabs me by the arm and starts pulling me out of the park. And I'm, like, resisting, and, like, my heels are dragging and stuff. And all around me, people are on the ground. They're getting, there's just kind of, like, chemical fog over them from getting sprayed, and police are on top of them. And I just realized that I could either meet the same fate or I could allow myself to be dragged out of the park and keep reporting. So I decided I opted for the latter.
But when you – yeah, go ahead. And I've only got about 30 seconds left here, Josh. I'm
okay,
sorry.
Okay, no, ask your question.
Well, no, but what happens then is he takes you – he tells you you can get hurt, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That was his reason for me leaving, and I think his meaning was pretty clear.
And you write, as you did that night in Twitter, that he then dragged you in front of a dump truck that was backing up?
Yeah, and he's like, well, look, you can get run over by a dump truck. And he's, like, pulling me in front of it. You know, and that wasn't the only thing that happened to me that night. Then later, like, this police officer grabbed me. I was wearing a satchel, a leather satchel, and mm-hmm. he grabbed me by it and slung me around because I was trying to take a photo of a guy in a stretcher.
But a cop, you're saying, no, I'm, it's not for my own safety. I'll be fine here. And he says, no, you won't. And he drags you behind a dump truck that's backing up to send a signal. I thought this was absolutely horrifying, Josh. Did you get the guy's name, badge number? And will you be making a complaint?
I asked him what his name was, and what he told me was, in response, he said, watch your back.
And he wouldn't give you his name, and you couldn't get his badge number?
No.
So he drags you behind a moving dump truck and says, hey, no, you could get hurt, as if he's threatening that he's going to let you get hit by this truck. Is there any action that can be taken in this matter that you plan to take? Because I was absolutely astounded and appalled by this when you reported it that night.
I mean, you know, I just don't know if it's a useful way for me to spend my time. I'd rather focus on covering Occupy Wall Street. I mean, I can write about it, and that's just kind of what I do. I'm not a lawyer, so.
I'd rather put these thugs in jail because they're the ones who are really causing the violence here, Josh, as I can see it from my reporting in any case. But it's a horrifying story. You can read more about it and check out Josh's video. We've got it at bradblog.com. He's got it over at motherjones.com. Follow him also on Twitter at Josh Harkinson. It's a good follow. Josh, I'm proud to call you my colleague, sir. I was proud to write for Mother Jones a month or so ago. Thanks for what you're doing out there, and please stay safe.
I will. Thanks for having me on, Brad.
Thank you, brother. Josh Harkinson from Mother Jones. Check out his reporting over there, motherjones.com, and bradblog.com as well has the video. And follow him on the Twitters at joshharkinson.com. Brad in for Mike Malloy. Much more straight ahead.
Some kind of way out of here. Say the Joker to the thief.
All right, manning the watchtowers tonight, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. In for Mike Malloy. Billy, hang on. I know you've been hanging there a while down there in Wimberley, Texas, so hang on. I'm going to get to the top of the hour break here, and I'll try to get to your call. We're going to be joined in the next hour by Denise Lockwood of Columbia Patch? No, the Caledonia Patch, I think, to discuss the dirty tricks that are going on in the Governor Walker recall. that the Republicans are already up to. But, you know, I asked Josh there at the end of the segment. We were running tight, so I couldn't get into it. But I had asked him, you know, if he's going to try to get some accountability from these cops. We have got to, because it is the cops who have turned lawless here. It is the cops who, it's, you know, it's like they got all of this new goddamn equipment after 9/11, and so they want to try it out. They want to try out all their militarized, like I said, go to bradblog.com. Check out the picture of this woman getting this tear gas in the face. Check out this picture of this tank. This tank down at Occupy Tampa that the Tampa police are now rolling out. We are a fully weaponized, militarized police state, a military state, and we have allowed this to happen. And if nothing else comes of what Occupy, this is what we're learning. Push back legally. Hold these guys accountable. Ernie Canning mentions that the ACLU has brought a lawsuit on behalf of Scott Campbell, the cameraman who was shot by the Oakland PD. You can check out his analysis of that lawsuit at bradblog.com. The ACLU is pushing back. The American Civil Liberties Union. Civil liberties, remember those? Lava Q in the bradblog.com chat room says that the police are more occupied with Occupy Wall Street than with real crime. You're damn right they are. You're damn right they are. And the taxpayers ought to be damn ticked off about it as well. Stop by the chat room and say hello over there. Much more ahead. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy, occupying your airwaves and proud of it. Stay with us. Much more straight ahead.